Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Seven Slot Society Podcast, the off-road lifestyle podcast that absolutely no one asked for. Today I have Miss Kate Atkinson, Psycho Cupcake 4x4, right at the end? 4x4?
Yes.
She is back again for another episode. This is episode 68. I definitely should have checked. But in the first episode that we were talking, you had not quite finished that Jeep, right?
That is correct. I don't even remember when that was last year.
I don't remember either. You're asking the wrong guy. From what I remember, though, we were talking, you were in like the final stages of putting that thing together. So
yeah,
you've gone wheeling a couple times.
I have.
You've tested it out. You've changed some things. And that's why I wanted to have you back on, because this, I don't want to say it was a long build. It was a long build in the sense that it took a long time, but not as long as some of these like mine. It just stretches on and on with no end goal in sight. You had markers that you hit and you constantly made progress. So it was quick, but it was also long in that sense. So now that you've got a chance to wheel it and see what it does, see what you like about it, I wanted to have you back on. And you said yes, which was terrific.
Of course.
Okay, so what was it like the first time you pulled it out? So you pulled it in and out of the garage a couple times, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. when you were testing stuff. What was the feeling like when it was like, okay, this is it. This is the last time we're pulling it out. Did you go for a hot lap around the neighborhood? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the first, it was a little bit, I guess you're just nervous. Like you're terrified that you did all this and then you're instantly going to pull it out of the garage. It's going to burst into flames.
Right, because that's logical.
But you go, well, you never know. I mean, but we did so much with the fuel system that it was
That's true.
We need to make sure there's not like fuel spraying from some junction or whatever. But I mean, just like insanely excited, but really, really nervous. Like, but you're also trying to make sure you're staying calm and collected and think through like all the things of, okay, we need to make sure the brakes work and that this works and that works and like that it actually moves and stops. So, it was just pretty much a lap around the neighborhood was like number one goal. And that was the first thing we did.
So when you hit the brakes for the first time, did you have them 100% bled when you pulled it out, or did you hit the brakes and go, oh fuck?
So we did have them bled, but I think we realized pretty quickly that there was a vacuum leak, because we had forgotten an O-ring, but other than that, it worked fine. So like surprisingly, there were a ton of breaks despite there being like a missing O-ring.
That's awesome. My luck, I'd get to the end of the driveway and hit the brakes and it would go, a boosh.
Like just pedal to the floor.
Exactly. Nothing. Got nothing there. How do your neighbors feel about this thing?
You know,
you have an exhaust on it, right?
We have an exhaust, but it's pretty much like, it's pretty straight piped. Like it's, there's a small, really like skinny muffler because that was all that could really be fit. So we do have that, but it is loud. Sometimes you'll be driving down the road and you'll see like a parent like pull their child closer to them or something. Like they're just like terrified of like, what's this thing coming down the road? It's like, it's just the weirdest feeling. But you know, I think a lot of the neighborhood obviously knew we were working on it for so long. So I think that there are people that are excited for us, but at the same time, like, I think they're just like, man, I wish these people would quit making noise. And like, we've got so many vehicles and it's like this, every time we need to move one of the vehicles, it's like this dance of things that have to go across the street and down the street and all this other. So, you know, I mean, they tolerate us.
Has nobody's complained?
Nobody has complained lately.
Lately. Do you have an HOA?
We do. Yes.
Is it like a strict one?
Like luckily,
the grass a certain height?
I don't know if it's quite that strict. Our HOA president is luckily very good friends with us and they're pretty relaxed. And so I think they know, because we still like positively contribute to the neighborhood, that it's okay that we, you know, kind of skirt on the edge of the rules.
Right. Is there a rule about how many vehicles you're allowed to have in your driveway that you're kind of skirting?
I don't think so. The biggest thing I think is like we park the trailer in the backyard, which is probably not okay. So when you like pull into the neighborhood, you can see the trailer. And so
you're right at the entrance to the neighborhood.
We are like at a major intersection of it. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I think there's also a rule about like all of the vehicles have to be in operational order. Like you can't have just some untagged non-operational vehicle, like just sitting out on the street. So if that goes on for too long, they'll start to give you a hard time about it. But hey, all of our stuff has tags. Like it all works.
Yeah. They got me for that with the Comanche. That's why I have brand new tags for Comanche that doesn't work. Oh man. Okay. So before we get into the wheeling stuff for the build, did anything change with the build since after we last talked to when you actually went wheeling? Other than putting O-rings in.
Nothing super huge. I think that there was stuff. So I want to preface this by saying like, it's not like it's done. It was done enough to go wheeling and enjoy it, but there's a laundry list of stuff that still needs to get done. So there were things that still needed to happen. I mean, I needed to build skid plates. That was a huge thing before going wheeling. And then after the first couple trips, I had a power steering problem. So that was something that kind of came up over the course of the trips. But all of that, I would consider that to be like minor things in the grand scheme of stuff. So nothing major was like, oh my God, this has to change, like totally tear apart and redo something. All of that was like, I think that's pretty par for the course.
Yeah. What ended up happening with the power steering? Did you made your own lines and then you had to remake them again? Is that right?
No. So the lines were all good. What happened was I had a modified stock power steering pump, which apparently didn't want to hold up to what we were putting it through. So like after a couple trips, it was like, I'm done.
Right.
So it was getting stuck in bypass. So replace that with PSC, and it's been all good ever since. And it drives so much better. So much happier now that we did that. And then we had to relocate the RAM a little bit, but that was about it.
Nothing major. Did you find out about that while you were wheeling, or was that something you nipped in the driveway?
No, that was while we were wheeling. There was one day, kind of towards the end of the day, we were just like, man, why can't we turn this thing? And so we didn't really think all that much of it. And then I went on another trip, and about halfway through the day, it was just like, you're doing that like, every muscle in your arms, your upper body are using to trying to like turn your tires. Right. So yeah, it was after that, we were like, it's cooked.
Yeah. Guys, just to let you know, I am on call this week for my job, so I may get a phone call at some point. We're just going to pause and I got to take care of that. And then just to let you know, that's why I'm kind of everywhere. So Alex, what's up? Becca Spaulding. She says two of my favorites. Aw, Sean Little, Fernando, what's going on? All right. I can't see all of these. So let me go over here. If you're just joining us, thank you. We have Kate Atkinson here, Psycho Cupcake 4x4. She's my favorite. we are talking about her build that she finished. So I say your Jeep is finished because I have nothing that's finished. Kate says it's wheelable, which makes sense.
Yeah.
For someone who actually finishes projects they start.
I mean, people always say that thing about like, well, Jeeps are never finished. Like this will have a finish. Like I have no desire to like continue the evolution of this. Like I want to, you know, have an end state.
you don't want to be perpetually building.
Right.
All right. I cannot find these comments. Okay. So nothing else changed last minute. I wrote down that stuff like that seems to be common from what I've seen in bigger builds. People will get to like the last 10 yards of a build and be like, oh, I decided I wanted to change it and stretch it 4 more inches. I got to start all the way at the back again. So how was the very first shakedown run? The first time that you loaded it up on the trailer, were you nervous? Where'd you go?
Yeah,
I need the whole everything.
Oh man. So it was, it's weird that it's all like a little bit of a blur. But I think I think I had like an event earlier that day. I had some meet and greet that I did out in town. And we had been planning on going on a particular day and we just weren't, we kept missing it. We couldn't, it's like, it's not ready. It's not ready. Just trying to get through the last few things. And so we finally decided, oh, that's what it was. It was a Saturday. And I did have a meet and greet earlier in that day. And then we were loading up the trailer. And so we were going to wheel on a Sunday because we were running out of weekend. And so we were working up until the last minute and like trying to get everything packed. Cause anybody that like goes on a wheeling trip, you hopefully I'm not the only one that feels this way, but like packing and getting ready and all that stuff is like, it's a whole event in its own, like trying to make sure you have all the tools and recovery gear and like, you know, what are you going to eat the next day? And plus we were planning on sleeping in the Jeep, and this is October. So it's like cold and we had never slept in the Jeep before. By the way, not the two-door. But so it was just this massive laundry list of stuff that had to get done to even like make the trip to go.
Right.
And I think we rolled into Roush at nearly midnight. And we're just trying to find anywhere to just like park so that we can just like sleep in the Jeep and be ready for the next day.
And this was Saturday night.
Saturday night, yeah.
Or Sunday morning. Okay. So it was already packed.
It wasn't that busy. But yeah, I mean, like it's pitch black out and we're like trying to find somewhere to park in that parking lot. And I don't even know that we pulled off into like a, where you were technically supposed to park or sleep or whatever, but it was like, whatever, it's flat ground. Like we're just calling this the campsite and we're good.
If it fits, it ships.
Yes. That was basically how it went. So, you know, woke up the next day and we knew there were people coming that were going to wheel with us. Heather Rogue JKU was who was going to wheel with us that next day. And so there were a lot of nerves, but it was just excitement too. Like, and we also knew the very first thing that we had to do is put it on the flex ramp, on the RTI ramp, because we knew we needed to do, because we had done like this kind of ghetto flex test in the backyard, but we really wanted to make sure that things cleared. Like if you get up there and you suddenly realize that something's like going to be hard into something else, you're just going to ruin your entire wheeling day anyway. If you don't realize that to begin with. But yeah, just that like first moment of like you pull up on the ramp and like the flex is insane and you're just like, okay, I'm ready to go now.
What was the first trail you guys hit?
So we kept it all pretty like close to the parking lot, just kind of in case things went badly. So we did just a couple small things in the comp course, just to try to get comfortable with, you know, going over some bumps and some, you know, a couple little climbs, and it was doing pretty good. And then if you're familiar with the park, if you kind of go down, I'm trying to think of where it is, but like you can exit off of one portion of the parking lot. You can kind of go down where there's a bunch of like hill climbs that head back up towards the concourse. So we did that because we knew there would be some hard trails. There's a bunch of like red and black climb outs, but all keeping it close just in case, like I said, anything went badly. And I think it was like the first trail we did got like 2/3 of the way up the trail, and then the tire lost all of its air.
Oh no, that's what you're talking about. You burped all the air out of them.
Yes. Yeah. So that was sort of when we realized like, okay, definitely some things that, you know, are not, not going all that great. So we had to spend the rest of the day wheeling at like 12 PSI because we were afraid if we went any lower, then we were just going to like burp air.
Is that something that's common with those tires being brand new?
So I think it's a combination of things. It's a bias ply tire problem. It can be a beadlock problem. And it's a non-broken in tire problem. So all of those things combined, it's probably why it happened. Okay. You can break in your tires at home and break in the sidewalls a little bit. Basically, you drive around your neighborhood at, you know, like 5 PSI, and that'll help break in the sidewalls a little bit. So it's just a combination of things. It's not uncommon for bias ply tires at all.
I saw your two pictures that you put side by side of the two tires. I thought that was really cool. If you guys haven't already checked her out, Psycho Cupcake 4x4 on Instagram. She also has a Facebook page. I don't know how long ago that post was, but just scroll. You'll see it. It's two pictures from the same angle with the tire like folded over itself like a sandwich. And then what you ended up doing, if I remember correctly, is you wrapped the inside of the wheel.
Yes.
With Gorilla Tape?
It is Gorilla Tape.
Okay.
Yep.
I never would have thought that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it made a world of difference.
Yeah. Never had an issue since.
So we don't have, I'm trying to think, I guess I have three trips maybe after having wrapped them.
Okay.
And no more problems. So it's been all good.
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah. All right. What's up, Joe? Mr. Mark, what's going on, guys? Billy, Ryan, Fernando said Kate drives a Jeep ? Yes, she does. I feel like the build was so anticipated, and then you've been on what, like 6 trips now?
So I was actually, I had a feeling you're going to ask that. I have, I believe, 8 total wheeling days. So, I think maybe that's 6 trips, but 8 total days.
That's more than I have wheeled in the past 4 years, which is fucking embarrassing. Jesus.
You'll get there.
One day. Guys, if you have questions about Kate's build, please feel free to put them in the comments. I have the comments here, so if you have questions, please feel free to ask. Okay. So, after that very, very first run, is there anything that you decided to change? You're like, this is not going to work anymore, or you didn't quite like the way it worked? Anything along those lines?
I can't really think of anything. Like I said, other than the power steering, that was the kind of just something that needed to be fixed, but
right.
I don't know that there was something where it was just like, this is not workable. I don't want to, live like this anymore. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there is really.
So that speaks to you being so meticulous with your planning and building the first time, which I feel like the majority of us poors don't do. We just hack it together, get on the trail as fast as we can. And I feel like from your and I's previous conversations, you're like, people are just bugging me. When's it going to be done? When's it going to be done? And that really can wear you down. Even though I feel like most people have, they don't have malicious intent. It just gets tiresome hearing the same fucking question over and over. But I think you did the right thing. Push through. Do it right the first time. If you can come back from your initial shakedown and be like, yeah, I think I got it right, then doesn't matter how long it took because it's the way you want it. So
yeah, it was crazy for you. driving home like that very first night after wheeling it, and we were just like, I can't believe we just did this. Like I can't believe it really just happened.
Yeah.
So it's really an incredible feeling. And this past weekend, one of the questions I get from people all the time is, how do you like your ORIs? And I don't really know what to say because it's like, I've had 8 wheeling days. I drive it on the road a little. Wait until I have 80 wheeling days, and then I'll tell you what I think of my ORIs.
Right.
We are still very much in like the suspension tuning portion of this. I built adjustability into all of my link brackets and stuff. So if I wanted to change the, the anti-squat or the anti-dive or all those other things, we have the ability to do that. But we've kind of gotten to the point where like, I don't think I need to change it. Like, I think wherever we put it that first time in terms of our guess of what we thought would be a good place for it, like I'm happy. I'm curious to see how it would perform with some of the, like with more anti-squat, but I don't know that I really, it's a hassle to do that, but it's just really working well.
Yeah. And you say we guessed where it went. You're not really a guesser. Like, you're a math person. You are smart as fuck. So there's really no, when you say, oh, I guessed, I just want everyone to understand that Kate doesn't guess at shit.
Yeah, no, there's
no
guess.
She has a plan and she executes on it. Yeah.
No, it was many weeks of poring over a 4-link calculator, so.
Exactly.
You're right. That was a little bit of a lie.
I caught that. Okay, let's see. Was there anything that you expected to perform one way, like on paper, speaking to the math part, but when you actually got out in a real world environment, performed a little bit differently? I guess that would mainly go suspension wise. I can't imagine it did though.
No, I don't. I don't think there was anything that was all that surprising. I think except for maybe like some of the strut tuning, because there's a wide variety of ways that you can tune those. And there were a couple times where I think we just said, oh, well, I thought it would have gone over this bump, or I think we would have climbed this. And, but certainly nothing crazy that was super unexpected.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I figured. So you kind of touched on this already, but you did build with, or you said with adjustability, not quite. I have here expansion. Did you build with expansion in mind? Oh, hold on. I lost my camera. Oh my God, Angel, come on. Hold on, stand by. Jesus. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Good grief.
And we're back.
I try to have nice things and I just fuck them up. Okay, so building with expansion in mind. You and I talked a little bit about this on the first podcast, which if you haven't listened to, go listen to the podcast with Kate. Where do you go after this? Like, that thing is fucking sick.
So that's an interesting question. And I don't think I built it with any expansion in mind. Because here's a good example. There's a lot of people that put their Jeeps on 40s and then later they decide they want to run 42s. My Jeep is not built to do that because for example, with the tire cut out in the back around the, in the corner armor, I know
I love
you
so love much.
I mean, like, that is a tight clearance. So there is a 42 is not going in there.
Right.
So, you know, I think that for people that think they might want to do that down the road, like, you know, plan for it now. Even if you think there's any possibility you're going to do that, because otherwise you're setting yourself up for a path of having to redo a bunch of things. So, but everything was just built with like a credit card of clearance. And so there's really nothing I think that could get like, I'm not going to ever put 42s on that without something insane. I'm never going to be like, oh, well, I want to stretch it this much more in the rear. It's just not going to happen. I think this isn't really expansion, but I think the only thing that I could really see happening down the road is going to full hydraulic steering. And I don't know if that really counts as expansion. Although if I were to do that,
why did I think you did?
No, I stuck with height assist.
So walk me through that. What was the reasoning behind that? Just for street legality in Maryland.
Oh man. That's probably one of the one of the hottest topics around here is that I wanted to build a buggy, but for some reason I decided I wanted to try to keep it street legal. probably one of those like hindsight is 2020 things.
Right.
But so this was part of my growth and learning experience things. Mm. So my build as it was before was on 37s. I did not have height assist. So I had this huge fear, I guess you could call it, of going direct to full hydraulic steering that I didn't even know what the in-between thing felt like in order for me to say, I thought it was too much of a step change that I wanted middle ground. I wanted some experience with having height assist before going full crazy.
Yeah. Is that so just for the input while you're wheeling?
Yeah, just, well, to me, it was like, how is it going to feel on the road? Which of course this thing sees like, like, you know, 2 miles of road time per month. So, you know, I think I ended up with a very much not street legal buggy. that I made compromises for because I thought I was going to drive it on the road. And of course it's really not, it does it a little bit. But so I just wasn't, it was just the force feedback thing that I was too afraid that I was going to not be comfortable driving something that just had the, you know, no road feel.
Yeah, that's what Mark says. Was the Jeep built in mind to drive on the road? Is that why you went with Hydro Assist? Yeah, so I guess you answered that. That's pretty much why. All right. Alex says, how do you like the ORIs as it relates to stability?
So far, I really, really love them for that. But some of that I can't quite answer because that is part of the suspension tuning. But as we have increased the lower chamber pressures, it just has like a lot of stability, especially in off camber. And I think some of that too is just simply because of the amount of travel that I have. There are situations where you can have your suspension like very twisted out, like full extension in a lot of places, and you just feel quite comfortable. Just because it's just very stable like that. I'm really happy with it for that.
Was it worth the wait?
Yeah. It was worth the wait. Absolutely.
Oh man. Kyle says, I would like to know your stance on 40.
Oh God.
I don't know why I assumed he asked a serious question. I would like to know your stance on 44 inch tires on a Dana 35. And why it works if you change the lugs. I can't count on you guys for anything. Jesus.
Yeah.
Good Lord. If you have actual questions, we'd be happy to answer those. Or have Kate answer them. Okay.
You want to know what size tires you can fit on a stock Jeep?
Yeah. Depends on how many cutoff wheels you have, man. Shit.
Yep.
So what has the overall reception of the Jeep been on social? This is a pointed question. We've had offline conversations about this.
Oh yeah. I mean, overwhelmingly positive, overwhelming. So people are incredibly supportive. A lot of people are really excited about it. Can't wait to see it in person. So it's been mostly good.
What about people? Have you run into anybody at the park that were like, oh shit, I know you, and like done a deep dive on it?
And I wouldn't say anybody's like done a deep dive.
I mean like looking under it and like, oh shit, what do you got under here?
Yeah, we do. So even the first trip, there was actually somebody, I'm terrible because I don't remember his name, but there is somebody that knew I was gonna be at Roush that literally only came up just so that he could see my Jeep. He wasn't even in a wheel that day, nothing. He just came up to see it. And that's just like, it's such a wild feeling for me, like very
crazy.
So I expect a bit more of that, like as summer comes around and I start doing events and stuff. So far when we've been up at the park, it's been on more quiet weekends. But yeah, people will come by at the end of the day when we're getting it on the trailer or, there was one day we had quite an audience at the RTI ramp. But yeah, people come and like look under it and ask a bunch of questions and they'll be like, oh, I followed the whole build. And so it's been really cool.
That's awesome. So you were at Roush. Did you end up going to the other one? I forget the name.
Anthracite. Yeah, I did go.
How'd you like it?
Is Sarah on? Because I feel like I need to complain. Or Manny. I need to complain to Manny.
I can't see exactly who's watching. If you guys are on here, show yourselves.
So I love Anthracite, but they like those trails are narrow. I mean, like really narrow.
Really?
And there are a few that are just like not friendly to Jeeps that have like wide axles.
Right.
So the first half of the day was literally people just trying to like Austin Powers around trees so that we weren't all just like smashing our hard tops and soft tops on everything. So I'm going to blame Manny for that one. But it's a great park. It's changed a little bit over the years in terms of like how they manage it. No disrespect to them or anything. They just like got a little bit stricter about rules. But it's a good time. Maps are a little bit more confusing.
I was going to ask, have they fixed their map issues? Are they still a little bit confusing? Okay.
You end up at some like trail intersection where like there's like 20 trails and you're like, I don't know which one. And you realize that you just keep going in circles.
Right.
It's still
we need
like
to
that.
Get the we need to get Cardo tracks out there.
Yeah.
ooh, here is a good one. Sean says, why Fusion over the other manufacturers or Junkyard?
So I'll answer the second part first. So for me, my understanding at least is that with Junkyard axles, a Junkyard rear can be really great. Like will be great fit for JKs for the most part. Junkyard fronts, especially the Super Duty axles, can have some fitment problems in terms of the pumpkin location being a little bit too far to the driver's side and not a lot of axle tube there for mounting control arms or coilover mount. So, and I've seen a lot of failures with those axles too, because when people go and cut the casting, then they accidentally there's not enough casting left to hold the tube in, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Point is, there are some compromises in doing it that way. I just didn't really want those complications for me personally. I know a lot of people do it. A lot of people are really happy. Mm-hmm. For me, and I mentioned this before in the previous podcast too, like a lot of it comes down to I have axles with a warranty, and a lot of those parts have a lifetime warranty. So the idea that if something goes wrong, like it's just a phone call away to get a replacement part and get something sorted out. So that's really what, and it's also about customization. So I know you go get a Junkyard axle. That's whatever width it's going to be. Like that's the width of the axle, unless you're retubing, which is like, if you're retubing the axle, you might as well just buy a whole new axle at that point.
Right.
But you know, going with Fusion, for example, some of those folks out there that are running like 43 inch tires, they're going to 74 inch wide axles. And like, so it's that you can just really customize it to exactly what it is that you want. And not just be stuck with like, this just is what it is.
Right.
So that kind of starts leading into the first part of the question. So I went with Fusion mostly because great customer service. I know the owner of the company. And it's just, it was just a really good working relationship in terms of buying axles from them. So I have spoken with Dynatrack in the past. I know they make great axles. But it really comes down to the customer service aspect of it to me. And and I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't even know if other places like Dynatrack and Curry are doing custom axle stuff, you know. And also you know, I ordered my axles with no brackets on them whatsoever, because I was planning on just doing my own custom suspension. I heard stories of people buying other axles. I'm not gonna say which they were. But once they put on their own brackets and stuff, and then the axle had a problem, the company was like, well, you changed it, so we're not going to warranty anything. Fusion expects that you're probably building something specific to what you need, that you're putting on coilovers or you're putting on a three link. And they're not going to deny your warranty because you did those things. So just that sort of stuff just makes a big difference to me.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a place for spending a little bit more money to spend less time and have less of a question mark, you know, at that part of the build. So I think that's good. Sean also says, great Smoky Mountain Jeep invasion. Are you going?
I don't have any plans to, but we will see. I forget when that is. Is that September, October, August?
August, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tara McGovern says, you're building an overlander out of that JKU, right?
I don't know about that, Tara. I if you can recommend a really good scottle and a rooftop tent, then I'll be ready.
You can have the best of both worlds. We're gonna have to get you to start two YouTube channels. Becca says, what's a place that you really want to wheel? And any plans to take any trips with it? I'm assuming she means longer than Rauscher Anthracite.
Yeah. So there's a lot of places I want to wheel. I mean, like, I don't know if we have enough time to like list all of those. I mean, I want to wheel everywhere. That's, yeah. I think that's kind of like my ultimate goal. This is another question I was like thinking about in my head that I figured somebody might ask. So we've got a lot of trips already at Roush and Anthracite. I have even more events planned this year to go there. In my mind, I'm still very much in like this shakedown period. I want confidence in the vehicle. I want confidence in myself driving it. Especially like I've said multiple times now, having still been in the tuning phase of things, way back before, you know, when I had my 37s and 3.5-inch lift, like that Jeep was wheeled for a good year in that configuration and like a lot of wheeling too, before we said, okay, we're loading up, we're heading to South Dakota and Colorado. At that point, like I knew that it worked well and I knew there weren't going to be any major surprises. I see all these people that they spend so much time like trying to get to the finish line and then they take their Jeep to something like Easter Jeep Safari and they spend the entire week there searching for parts and this, that, and the other because they have problems that come up. I don't want to be that person. That's like, that is a huge...
That gives me anxiety.
Oh yeah. It's such a huge haul. Like the, even the cost and the travel and everything to go do that. And then, you know, have some sort of major thing that hadn't been quite worked out yet. So I think I'm definitely getting there in terms of my comfort level in both myself and the Jeep. And so I don't really know. The pretty much after June, the rest of the year is open. I'd love to head out west. I've heard that Sand Hollow is where it's at. So that's somewhere I'd really like to hit up. But I don't know. I mean, everywhere. I want to go everywhere.
Even being there as a passenger at Sand Hollow, just like I'm not a, like I don't do nature photography or landscape photography and stuff like that, but just being there in it, just looking around like, holy fuck, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
So, all right, let me get this pulled back up. If you guys are just joining us, this is Kate Atkinson. She's my friend and she built a beautiful Jeep. go follow her on Instagram, PsychoCupcake4x4. Okay, so let's talk about Instagram. So I've seen some real fuckos in your comments. Some real fucking dildos.
Yep.
Do you straight up block them or do you give them the opportunity to maybe see the error of their ways?
So the funny thing is, if you are seeing them, you aren't even seeing the ones that have been removed.
those are the okay ones.
Yeah. So Instagram has this lovely little feature called restricting people.
Yes.
So there are some people that are restricted from commenting. They may think they're commenting, but nobody else can see it. And there have been times I've gone and I have removed comments as well that I think are just like too far over the line.
Right.
I generally try not to block people because I feel like at the end of the day, you have to take the good with the bad and there are going to be people that aren't going to like you. In general, most people, it's like a fleeting negative comment. They've got something they need to get off their chest. They say it one time and then they go about their business. And they disappear. Lately, it's been a little bit less of that. There have been some repeat offenders that are just like really trying to make a point, I guess. none of them are blocked. So it's, you know, it is what it is. But it's been interesting lately. It's not something I really expected to happen, as naive as that might sound. So,
yeah. You could have called that a mile away. but you didn't really have that problem before. Do you think they only started coming when the build started getting crazy and you started showing up on the Explore page more and new people were starting to see it? Do you think that's when they started coming in more?
No. Oddly enough, the people who have been doing this are people that have followed me for a long time. They aren't new. Really? And the weirdest, and we'll go ahead and talk about like one of the things that the claim was that I don't wheel.
I saw that one. You only post pictures.
And like, it's insane to me because I don't expect anyone to go dig back through my 1,000 photos that are on Instagram, but right. Like, I will, like,
right. Like have before that build and sit, not like fire road stuff. Like you said, South right. Dakota, Colorado, like that's real fucking shit.
Yeah. It's a bizarre thing to me that of all the things that someone could come at me for, like, it was just weird. Like,
right.
I'm not quite sure what it is. I don't know if that's they just simply don't like me or, to be honest with you, a lot of them were unhappy that they think I'm an influencer and they don't think that people like me should be influencers. Whatever that means. So it's mind-boggling to me.
As much as I hate to say it, I do believe on a strictly, why can't I think of the word? Like on the definition of the word influencer, I think you are. I think the stereotypical influencer, you don't fall under that category, but technically you do influence people who are looking to purchase something. For instance, this question from Tommy Williams. You like that segue? He said, what made you go with PRP seats?
Ah, so that was kind of an interesting evolution. So I knew that I wanted aftermarket seats. It was absolutely not in the plan for this phase of the build or anything. It was just like, yeah, someday I'd really like to have suspension seats because I, you know, want to be able to run harnesses and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that wasn't the plan from the beginning.
Not at all.
You were going to run the stock seats.
Yep.
Oh, wow. I did not know.
There is still an intent to install a harness bar and then perhaps just wear or run harnesses with the stock seats, but not do suspension seats. Mm-hmm. But I had been kind of eyeing PRP seats. I hadn't necessarily like narrowed it down to something that I wanted in particular. But one day it like popped up on Instagram that they were looking for people with particular year Jeeps, they were trying to buy stock seats from people or work out a barter.
Right.
So I was on it. I swear they posted that to their Instagram story. And like 30 seconds later, I was like, yo.
Yeah. me, pick me.
I was like, I'll do it. And I thought for sure they were going to be like, you know, no thanks, because I live in Maryland and they're out in California. So I was like, surely this isn't going to happen. But lo and behold, it did. And so we worked out a barter deal. And so I picked which seats I wanted. And that's kind of how it happened. So it was just sort of like it. So I don't mean to sound like, you know, like I just picked whatever was a good deal, but I had already been kind of eyeing them. And then that opportunity came along and it was like, yes, this is the moment.
Yeah. It was meant to be.
Yeah. So really happy with them after all. Like it took a lot to get them to like fit in a JK.
I remember that.
But really happy with the seats now.
What was the major complication you ran into with getting them to fit where you needed them to?
So they seem to sit really high. So high that my head was up near the roll cage, like uncomfortably close to the cage. And then my feet weren't even touching the floor. So we needed them to be like 2 to 3 inches lower, I think, in order for me to even be able to reach the pedals.
I just spilled my sparkling water everywhere. Did you end up getting a new seat pad? What do they call it? Because it's got the bump in it to like keep your legs like raised cushion. Up. Yes.
No, I am still running the one that came with it. And at first I wasn't quite sure how I was going to like that, but it's very comfortable. And to be honest, now that it's broken in a little bit, I do wish I had like a little bit more height in the cushion. But it's very comfortable. And I they did offer initially to switch that out because of the problem of my feet not touching the floor.
Right. For people that don't know, the cushion goes flat and then it's got like a little bump where it's supposed to sit on your hammies to kind of like, I guess, relieve stress of you trying to hover your feet above the pedals. I think that's the way it was explained to me.
Yeah.
Ashley Coagley, shout out Ashley, says, fuck them. Thank you for representing Jeep ladies. And that is, aside from I just like you and you're a good human, that I think you're really doing a service to the women of off-road. So not to blow your head up or anything.
No, thank you.
Trevor Kate says, are you doing more Jeep dog calendars? See, now we're getting yes. to important questions.
Yeah. Oh, man. My Jeep dog calendar is like the best part of my year. But yes, there is a plan to keep doing those. So hopefully.
When does that start? When does submission start?
Well, as long as I don't procrastinate, it starts around August, I think.
Okay. So you got a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. So start collecting photos from people around the August timeframe.
Okay, sweet. Topher says, on a new trail or new park, do you like to wheel at the lead of the pack? Or do you like to wheel lead of the pack, front of the back, or back of the group?
Ooh, I think that's you said a really back of the pack. So I feel like whether it's a new park or somewhere that I've been before, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm usually in the lead, which has advantages. You know, you get to pick where you're going. Mm-hmm. The disadvantage to being in the front is that if you're coming up on something that you've never run before, you're doing a trail you've never run before, you've got to find the line. Right. And everybody behind you, they're all watching. So if you take 100 tries at that line to figure out where to wheel, then, you know, they all got a lesson.
So, right. And then they just walk right up it.
Yes. So I complained about that. Like, back in November, we were wheeling up with a buddy up at Roush and running some trails we hadn't done before. And I felt like I was making an ass out of myself because I'm just like all over the place, like backed up 100 times, kept like, oh, that's not the line. That's not the line. And finally I get over it. And then dude behind me, just like boop, right up. And I was like, what the hell?
Cause he watched you do it.
Right. So he was like, oh, that's where that works. So yeah, I also feel a certain amount of stress being in the very back though, because then mm-hmm. I feel like I'm pressured to keep up. Whereas if you're in the front, then you get to set the pace. So if you're kind of like a slow person on the trail, then, you know, you're not the one suffering. There's exactly. the people behind you are. So, it, you know, they have their pros and cons to both. So
Lamb Chop says hi. Hi, Lamb Chop.
Hi.
The front of the pack and back of the pack, I think to most people, I like to go fast between the big obstacles. Like mm-hmm. if you're in first gear four low and you're just letting it chug, I am pissed off. Like, no, put that bitch in third. Let's go, man.
Yep.
I want to get to the hard stuff. And that's, you know, not always good, but whatever. That's why I like to keep like small groups. Like I think 10's too many still.
Yeah, for sure.
Good thing I don't wheel. Tommy says, people tell me to shut up all the time and I just keep on driving. Shut up, Tommy. Oh, man. So you said you have some events planned. What's still on track? Like, are people, event organizers, getting back into the swing of things now?
Yeah, it seems to be. Everything seems to be back in full swing, which is awesome.
Good.
So, and like some events did take place last year, so it's not like it was all completely canceled.
Right.
But we've got Crawling for Cops coming up at the beginning of June. And then there's the Great American Crawl. And then I've got another event with...
Where's that, the Great American Crawl?
That's also at Roush.
Okay. Who puts that on?
That's Rockstar Garage.
Cool. That should be a very fun time.
I mean, it's going to be a great event with a lot of great people. And a lot of people that I have wanted to meet from social media for a really long time. So I'm
friends.
Really excited about it. Yeah. Internet friends for sure. So
yeah, that's awesome.
I've heard they put on a great event. So I'm no disrespect at all.
Any plans for AOP?
No, not yet. I would love to though. So that's one of those like later in the year, try and find time and schedule it.
you should come to the Ultra 4 event at AOP so you can kind of scope it out.
When is that?
July 20-somethingth. Hmm. A weekend that you'll be at Roush doing something?
No, July is totally open. So,
I'll have to look it up and find out when the date is. But Lamb Chop and I are supposed to go down there to shoot the race. So
nice.
We'll see. We will see. All right, let me get these comments up. If you guys have, this is Kate Atkinson. If you're just joining us, this is my friend. She built a beautiful, amazing Jeep. Go follow her on Instagram, Psycho Cupcake 4x4.
Yes.
Let's see. Mark says, I also do think you will inspire other women and other people in this crazy world of off-roading, especially because you are level-headed and extremely smart. Smart as a fucking whip.
No,
willing
thank you.
To explain and show how and why you did the build while holding a very welcoming attitude. Keep being you. I agree with all of those things.
thank you very much.
Yes, you are a great service to the women of off-road. So you finally did something that you thought you'd never do at Roush.
Yes.
It's Trail 5 Hill Climb, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I assume that's the name. That's what we've always called it.
That's what I've always heard it referred to as. So I have stood at the bottom, walked up, it stood at the top. That bitch is steep.
Yes.
So when I was watching, you went live from there. I don't know.
Again.
Oh, God damn it.
Damn it, Angel.
Damn it. Bullshit.
There we go.
I don't know how you got enough service out there to do that, but that's neither here nor there. So I saw in your face a couple times a little trepidation, and I was like, yo, that would be me too. How was that? So was that something that day you were just like, ah, fuck it, I'm going to do it? Or is it something that you had on your list?
No, not at all. We had done a couple of pretty short climbs in different areas of the park. And then right next to, or to the left of it, I shouldn't say right next to, but just to the left of it, there is kind of a rocky climb. And so we said we could go over there and take a look at it. And then maybe run that little rocky climb that's over to the left. So we get there and we're just like, well, just run it. So it was not in the plan. It was something I said I'd never do.
Was it a peer pressure situation?
No.
You got a little egging?
Nope. There was no egging. And if you watch the live, there were a couple lives because we did it a few times over. But my trusty co-driver, Seth, he did it first. And so then after he did it, I was like, okay, well, I want to try. But it was just us on the trail that day. So there was nobody else there that was instigating. I don't even really know why we in that moment decided to do it, but
do you think you would have if you were in a group of like 15?
I don't know. Now that I've done it, yes, I think that I would, but I don't know. It's a tough thing. I never want to feel peer pressured into doing it, but I certainly know so many people that have. But then I see videos where you just kind of like get a wheel hop, like in the wrong direction. And then it's just like, you know, it can go wrong really fast.
So how did the ORIs feel? Cause you kind of had to get up like off camber this way and then give it a bump. So did you feel any, like, I would be afraid of it unloading in the front, but maybe that's just me thinking they're not air shocks. They're different. They're ORIs.
Yeah. So, in on that trail, no, like there is no real feeling of them unloading. There are some other like more steep parts of the park, maybe like shorter climbs where you can really get that feeling where you know that it's super light and you've got like the front end is completely unloaded. So that kind of goes back to one of the questions that maybe you asked before that I didn't think of before. I think in hindsight, like a suck down winch would be a really good idea in the future.
Okay. Just a little one for the front or no.
Yeah.
Cause you can.
Yeah. Just.
Yeah.
So, no, on that one in particular, I didn't feel like it was there wasn't anything wild going on with the ORIs. It was really just more important to like get on the right line and then maintain momentum.
Right. I was, my palms were definitely sweaty watching that for sure. But I was rooting for you hardcore.
Thank you.
All right. Trevor says, when do the ORIs come off and the coilovers and triple bypasses go on?
It's not happening. Not happening.
Jesus. Tommy says, what's your favorite place to wheel and why? You've been to a bunch, so I feel like you have a leg to stand on to say, like, I like this one more than this one.
Yeah, it's, I guess it depends on what you want out of it. So it's, that's tough to answer, you know, like in terms of scenery experience, wheeling in Colorado was just amazing. Yeah. I mean, just absolutely gorgeous. So,
yeah.
But was it like, was it the hardest stuff I've ever wheeled? No, absolutely not. But it was the whole, it was the total package sort of thing. Right. South Dakota has some gnarly, gnarly stuff. And so that was just like really fun, technical wheeling. It was also beautiful there too. So I don't know. I don't know that I have like a favorite per se. It's just everywhere has a different, has something different to offer.
Yeah. I feel like that's where the East Coast, West Coast conversation comes. Like, which one's better? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that you can pit one against the other one like that.
Right.
Just not the same.
Yeah.
Not the same at all. So I want to be respectful of your time. I know you got a ton of shit you probably have to do. Is there anything that you want to cover about the build? Any unanswered questions you feel may benefit people?
I don't know. No, I don't. I can't think of anything major right now.
Was that? I mean, what did you say?
The background audience is telling me that I should say that I really wish I would have motor swapped it. But
do you though?
No.
I was gonna say I don't. I feel like you that's something that you would have definitely done if you had really wanted to.
Yeah.
Maybe down the road. I still don't think you do it though. I think you just build something else.
Now, this is a, I mean, the Jeep is a crawler. I mean, that's, that's what it's meant to do. There's never been a time where I felt like it needed more power or more torque or anything. So, you know, I think that it absolutely does its job as for how it was built.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I get to wheel with you sometime in this next decade. I'm going to give myself a decade. Jesus Christ. but I think that's going to be it for us. Thank you so much, Kate.
Once we end
the live, stay on with me.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. This has been episode, I don't know the number of the Seven Slot Society podcast, the off-road lifestyle podcast that absolutely nobody asked for. Our amazing guest has been Kate Atkinson. Please go follow her, Psycho Cupcake 4x4 on Instagram. She also has Facebook. So thank you guys so much. You are absolutely amazing. And we are going to end it here.